Good morning, everybody. Again, just like to welcome you to Grace Life Bible Church. I just like to say one thing about, I think it was the third verse of the old rugged cross. Technically, we're not pardoned. Christ didn't pardon us, He redeemed us. No debt was left unpaid.
Amen.
He totally paid that price for us, a debt that we could never pay for ourselves. So, I'd just like to welcome you here this morning. As Todd said this morning, we are interrupting the normal service that we'd have this morning so that we can not only celebrate 3 years as Grace Life Bible Church, but give you the annual congregational meeting as well. Having been involved with the Elder Board since the beginning of Grace Life Bible Church, I can tell you I have a whole new perspective for the way church happens, for what makes church happen, and for the what happens to make the church function as a church is supposed to function. So, you know, for me it's been exciting to see not only growth in numbers here for the last 3 years, but also growth spiritually in the lives of the believers that have been attending here. So that part of the church has really been exciting for me to see. So this morning we all get to participate in what normally would be going on behind the scenes on a Saturday morning down the hall there in the conference room. And first of all, I think Brian's going to come forward and share some thoughts about the past year, as well as some his goals and ideas for what's going to happen in the coming year in his State of the Assembly address. And then after that, Wayne will come and give the financial report, the church budget for the coming year, things like that. And then finally, our last two remaining two board members will each come up. Paul Dibble and Todd here to give some of their thoughts concerning the church. And then following the meeting, you're all invited to stay for cake and ice cream and help us celebrate 3 years as Grace Life Bible Church. Right now I'd like to read Philippians 1, chapter 3 through 6 to you all. It says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And with that, I'd like to welcome our pastor, Brian Ross.
Good morning. All right. We'll get the PowerPoint up. Yes, Todd is correct. There is a game Friday. Okay. It's rare that the school that I teach at would ever get this far. It's only like the third time we've been in the playoffs in the last like 20 years. For you guys, it's an annual occurrence, right? I mean, pretty much. So anyway, the State of the Assembly address. This time that I'm going to share with you this morning is going to be different than it normally is. I'm not going to come up here and expound upon a passage of scripture like I normally would, and I'm going to try to be respectful of the timing involved in here so that we can get through all of the things that we need to do. But you know, this is a unique church, and even in the way that we handle the business and stuff like that, is it's different. And every church that you would ever go into has a different character, a different dynamic, a different dimension to it as far as how that church operates and functions and so on and so forth. And it's no different here with this assembly. And so I want to welcome you to the annual meeting and the 3 year celebration of this assembly. And I want to start, before we get into some appreciations, I just want to remind you all of the history. And for those of you that aren't aware of it, I think it'd be good for you to know this. On Sunday, October 27, 2007, the last Sunday of October, 3 years ago, a group of saints from Westside Grace Church in Muskegon were joined by some saints from a Bible study that had been meeting over in Cedar Springs, Michigan, informing the Grace Life Bible Church that you now see before you today. At that first meeting, there were 30 of us. Okay? So in 3 years, we have grown from the original 30 to a group averaging 70 with about 80 people who come in and out occasionally. Okay? So we've seen growth in 3 years, okay, from that original number of 30. And we used to meet over in the cafeteria of Apex Spring and Stamping down the road here in Standale in that first group. And 2 years ago, we moved into this facility here at this location at 3020 Lake Michigan Drive. So we've been here now for 2 years. We've been in existence as a church for 3 years. And what I want to do with you this morning is essentially three things. The first thing I want to do is recognize the accomplishments of the assembly and give out some thank yous and appreciations for what has been accomplished within our third year. And then I want to review our core ministry strategy and offer an overview for you of our current ministry so you can get a picture of everything that is going on within the assembly. And then I want to share with you a few visions or goals or whatever for year four. Okay, so to do that, this is not. What's the power out here this week? Does anybody know? Because some stuff is not working the way it normally would. So I have to look at the screen. Normally I have a monitor here with all the stuff on it, but it's not working. So I first of all want to share appreciation. Okay, and when we think about appreciation, we're talking about the board. Myself as the pastor and the board of the church expressing thank you and appreciation for all of the people who help, for example, with the kitchen. You walk in, there's donuts, there's coffee, somebody had to do that stuff, okay? Somebody has to stay after and clean it up and so on. So just to run through a list here, and somewhere your name, these aren't names, these are more categories, the people that work in the nursery, okay? The people that work in the three children's church classes, they need appreciation. The people that come in here and practice before church for music and are here on Sunday night to practice for the band and take of their times for music. Okay, the audiovisual guys, the guys that work back here at the sound booth and run the audio and so forth in the service, and also the internet ministries of the church. All of those people are constantly doing things throughout the week that you don't see. All right, the people that helped work for the conference, the vacation Bible school that we did this past summer. Those people took of their time to participate in that also. You just go down the list. The buildings and the grounds, the people that help in the bookstore to organize that, the people that put the bulletin together every week, the treasurer, the one who makes sure that we're where we need to be financially, okay? That's an important position. The board members that come in on Saturday morning and meet to discuss the affairs and the direction of the church and so on, all right? And the saints, you folks that come, you know, listen, I could come here and we could come here and meet myself and the board and we could have a real nice time talking to each other, but we wouldn't really be having church, like in the sense that we have it now. And so the saints, you that have been here and supported the ministry, whether through your time, your effort, your talents, or your finances, whatever it is. So we want to say thank you and express appreciation to everybody. And, you know, obviously there's other things that I forgot, okay? And if you're looking at that and you say, hey, my thing's not in the list, it's not because I'm purposely forgetting you. It's just because there's so much stuff that's going on that I can't remember everything all the time. And so, but we want to say thank you and our appreciation for those of you who are involved in that. Okay? And we really do mean that. Without the saints, this is not what it is today. Okay? Without those of you who have agreed and to help out with things and to do things around the assembly, we would not have what we have today if without that. So, accomplishments are the second thing I want to talk to you about. What has the church done in year three since the last time that we met here and did this? Okay? Well, we've done a lot of things. Together we've accomplished, we had a Christmas program, a fellowship dinner, if you remember that way back when. Okay? We had a second teen winter retreat. Some of the kids from our assembly went up and participated in the teen winter retreat that we did again with Shorewood Bible Church. We expanded to the Sunday evening and introduced a contemporary service on Sunday evening to what we've been doing here as a church. We've had various Right Division 101 Sundays. We're going to have another one coming up here in November where I am going to focus on the ages to come, by the way, which I never seem to get to whenever we do that. We've started a printing ministry. From the $200 initial donation that members of this assembly made, we have now printed 6 books, some of which are in their third printing in less than a year. Okay? So that initial donation of $200 put the wheels rolling now on a printing ministry that now there is money in an account specifically designated for the printing of books and literature materials that are being published by this assembly. Okay? We had Easter morning fellowship breakfast. Again, the men put that on back then. We had the yard sale that a lot of you spent a lot of time with. Also, we started the food pantry this past year here at the assembly for those of you who are aware of that. We had a church family picnic over at Steve and Vicky's this summer. So that was something that we necessarily haven't done before. Okay, we had Vacation Bible School. We started a Facebook page, a church Facebook page. By the way, if you're on the internet and you're not a friend of the Facebook page, you need to do that, okay? We have a YouTube channel now. So we're expanding the outreach ministries of the church via the internet, okay? We hosted our third Bible conference. The ladies have had various fellowship events that they've put together. And also, they've organized into a ladies' committee that is working behind the scenes to put on future events and to bring some organization to how the women work together and so forth. We've started with Brother Paul the Periodic Basis of Grace class. Okay, that was done last spring. Again, we started the teen girls class that my wife is involved in. We had a teen summer camp. What else? I don't know. Okay, I'm sure there's, again, other things that we could have put up there that I just forgot about, or because we've just done, you know, so many things that it's hard to remember sometimes everything that's going around. So we want to acknowledge the accomplishments of the group. We want to acknowledge what we've done as a local church. And we want to first say thank you to all of you who have had a part in making sure those things get done, whether it is the regular order of things here on a Sunday morning, or whether it is some of the other things that we have done in addition to. We want to thank you, appreciate, acknowledge, and reflect on what we've done this past year. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about our core strategy. Now, as I thought about this, when we first met 3 years ago, I laid out for you the core strategy of Paul's ministry. And my point to you this morning is not to preach through all of this stuff, because I've done that 3 times and I want to make sure we have time for other things here. But I want to remind you of it. When you think about Paul's strategy, when you think about how this church came to be, how we got to where we're at, we have done so by following the Pauline strategy for ministry that you find in the Scripture, okay? When you start a church, there are various strategies, models, paradigms, whatever, that you could use to pattern your church after. And rather than patterning our church after the mega church model or the seeker church model or the emergent church model or any of these other things, we said, let's do it the way Paul did it. Let's do it the way the Word of God says to do it. And any of the other stuff, if it doesn't fit or if it's not working, we'll just lay it aside and focus on what we need to focus on. And the first thing that Paul did is he initiated a strategy of evangelism, where he would evangelize a city in a strategic area that could then reach out into the surrounding area. So when we said, where do we want our church to be? Well, in West Michigan, what's the chief city of West Michigan? Grand Rapids. So it made strategic, biblical sense to put a local church here as opposed to somewhere else. Okay? And so that's how we came to be. Then we saw that secondly, not only did Paul evangelize, Joel, you help me out here, I don't know what's going on. Okay? He also edified new believers. So once he evangelized people and got them saved through the preaching of the cross work of Jesus Christ, and that alone is the only total complete payment for their sin, then he took those believers and he edified them in sound doctrine. He built them up in the faith. He sought to establish them in the truth. Okay? And so number three, he established then from the believers that he gets saved and the believers then that he gets edified, he then takes those believers and he establishes them into local churches. Okay? Local collections of believers, of saints of the Most High God, who have gathered themselves together for the purpose of Bible study, Bible preaching, and mutual edification. Okay? And that is fundamentally what we do here every week. We come here and yes, we fellowship. Yes, we enjoy donuts. Yes, we enjoy coffee. Yes, we go to the picnic and we enjoy fellowship and so on and so forth. But the fundamental core purpose and reason for why this church is here is to preach the Word of God. Okay? And to preach that Word of God rightly divided, authoritatively, and unapologetically to the city of Grand Rapids and its surrounding areas. Okay? So He evangelized, He edified the saints, He established the saints into local churches, and then He enlisted key men that could be trained to carry on the work and lead the churches in His absence. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to perpetuate a ministry here. And then lastly, Paul eventually then, he would use the church, the local church, as a base from which to expand the gospel into edifying and outlying communities. So when we think about the core strategy, when we think about the core purpose, there it is. The core purpose is to evangelize. The core purpose is to edify. The core purpose is to establish and enlist and to expand. That's what it is. That is what Paul's ministry model was, and that is what we have adopted as our model, as our purpose, as our goal. And so all the other ministries, all the other things that we do, if we cannot tie them back to those things right there, then those are things that we should not be doing. Okay? Now, along with that then, clearly, Paul needed fellow laborers. He needed partners in ministry. He needed people that would come alongside and help get the work of the ministry done. And every successful ministry needs people who are going to share of their time, their talents, their efforts, their finances to help get the work done. Okay? Come with me real quick to Colossians chapter 4. There are a few verses I do want to look at with you. Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at the most verses in my conclusion as I put forth some goals or some things for you to think about. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 11. Look at what Paul says. He says, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow what?" My point in reading that verse is to point out to you again that this ministry continues to need people who are going to be fellow workers. It's not that two or three people do all the work and everyone stands by and watches. Hey, nice work. Good way to go. You know, that's the way most churches are though, right? 10% of the people do 90% of the work. But that's not the way Paul envisioned the ministry working. The way Paul envisioned the ministry working is through a collection of saints that have been established and edified working together for the work of the ministry. Okay? That's the idea here that Paul has in Scripture. So following this model and your partnership in it, in the work, over the past 3 years, we have built what started as three people, according to the Word of God, into the audience that you now see in this room. So have we been doing some work? We have been. We have been doing some work. The Word of God has been preached. The work is being done. That's why we start off by thanking people and listing the accomplishments. And now what I want to do, you know, it's easy to walk into church and just see things from your perspective as somebody who just attends. What I want to try to do right now is show you the perspective of the board as far as what goes into making sure this stuff happens. Okay? So I have up here on the slide, and I'm going to come down here so I can see it better. I have up here on the slide that the purpose of the church is to evangelize, edify, establish the saints through the preached word rightly divided. That's the purpose. Okay? So how do we go about that purpose? Well, first of all, we have 9 a.m. adult Sunday school on Sunday morning. Well, what has to be there for that to happen? Well, there's got to be a teacher. There's got to be an audience of people that care enough about what the teacher is saying that are willing to come listen. Okay? Somebody's got to have coffee because you don't want to be here at 9 a.m. without coffee. We have to, now that we're doing it the way we're doing it, now there's audio visual set up and tear down. And in the meantime, while that's going on in that wing, the singers and musicians are in here practicing for the message. Okay? At 10:15, we have the main Sunday morning service. Well, what do you have to have to have that? Well, you have to have a preacher. You have to have somebody to deliver the message. Again, you have to have an audience that's going to listen. It's nice to have somebody at the door greeting people who are visitors and stuff so they don't walk in the door and feel like they're, you know, a stranger or something like that. But to greet people in the Lord and that sort of thing. Again, you want your coffee and your donuts. Somebody's got to take care of that. Set it up. Make the coffee. Put the donuts out. Go get the donuts. All that stuff's got to happen. All right? We have nursery. During that time, we're running 3 children's classes. We have music with the worship service. We have the audio-visual that's going on during the message, and then somebody at the end's got to clean it all up. All right? But then you get to the third thing that we do, and that's 6 p.m. evening service is the same thing. Now, you walk in and you think, wow, you know, that just seems to happen, and maybe from your perspective it does, but my point is that to get even something like a message, a Sunday morning service accomplished, you're not going to get it accomplished without people who are willing to help you accomplish it. So somebody in this assembly is working in one of those areas to see that we can have an enjoyable experience as a local church together. And that doesn't even include food pantry, fellowship dinners, ladies' meetings, youth activities, vacation Bible school, conference, janitorial, and so on. That's just to do what we're doing right now. Okay? Everybody with me on that? Okay? Well, let's go to the media. Every week, the camera's taken down, the CD and DVD media masters are extracted from the camera, then they're taken and they're edited, duplicated and edited and so on, so that people can have copies of them that request them. All of that is occurring. We also have the weekly updating of websites, okay, that the church is involved in. Somebody's taking care of that. And by the way, listen to this. I checked this morning. In the last 7 days, there have been 12,772 requests on our website. In the last 7 days. The month of October 2010, I looked this morning, there have been 41,336 requests in the month of October, making it far and away the most heavy traffic that we've ever had on our church website. So the ministry is not just happening here. I get emails from people in Montana. A lady in Minnesota sends us a check every month, an offering check every month as an act of gratitude for what the ministry is putting forth to her so she can hear the word preached because she doesn't have a church to go to. Okay? I get email from people in Africa. I get email from people all over the world saying, hey, great website, great information, keep it up. Okay? So this church is having an outreach way beyond the walls of this building. Through the internet, through the technology, through the media resources that we are putting forth. And by the way, I don't care what anybody says. Somebody on the internet is probably going to write me in as soon as they hear me say this, but our church has the best internet sites of any Grace Church I've seen. You can thank Kurt for that. Okay? I get email all the time of people who are flabbergasted by the amount of information that we are putting out about Grace Truth. So the work is being done. Okay? The work is being done. For those of you who don't know, I'm on TV in Grand Rapids and Holland every week. We got to get Muskegon, but that's another story, okay? But every week, we've got Pastor Jordan on the radio. I think we do. Yeah, there he is. He's on the radio every week. So this small community of believers here is doing all of that stuff. And all of that stuff is being accomplished by 70 to 80 people. That's good. That's awesome. Okay? So then you scratch your head, and the next question that comes up is what? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? What do we do now? And isn't that what a meeting like this is supposed to be about? Well, that's where I want to talk to you and look at some verses on some things. Given the size of the assembly, given the scope of the ministries that we are already participating in and supporting, the board feels somewhat that it would be irresponsible to take on a host of new ministries. Rather, we feel at the time that what we need to do is to strengthen and stabilize the current ministries that we are already operating. I don't think a congregation of 70 to 80 people of where we are right now can take on much more than we've taken on, financially or manpower-wise. Okay? Because I've always been sensitive, ever since we started this local church, as the pastor, I have always been sensitive to not burning the saints out with unnecessary and non-essential church work. You've all been in other churches where it's like all they do is use you up and spit you out. Okay? They just use you up and spit you out and get you doing this and doing that, and before you know it, you don't even have your own life anymore. Your whole life is wrapped around that, and that's not what we want to be about. That's why from the beginning we have tried to set up rotations for things like kitchen duties and nursery care and children's church ministries, so as not to burn people out and not to overuse them and overwork them, but to allow them to come and be a part of the body, the life of the body of Christ, but and also to still be able to get involved. Okay? Now, can I tell you that we need to not be weary in well-doing? Come with me to Galatians, if you would. Come with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we would. You know, every time I read that verse, I think about myself as a young teenager sitting in Sunday school class. And I think about the teacher, her name was Mrs. Kashan. Some of you might know Mike Kashan, I don't know, it was his wife. And every week she would come in with the lesson, and us, a bunch of teenage boys sitting there, were like, okay. And I remember her feeling like she wanted to go beat her head against the wall because nothing she was saying was making any difference. Do you know that out of that class of four kids, two of them are now preachers? We need to not be weary in well-doing. We might not see the fruit today. We might not see it tomorrow, but eventually the fruit will be manifest. And we need to not be weary in well-doing. We need to keep doing what's right. We need to keep doing what we need to do as a body, as a church, as a congregation, because that is what we are called to do. We need to remember also, folks, who we serve in this thing. Come with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. If you agree, if you become a part of the local church, you're not serving me or the board. Well, in a way you are, but you're first serving who? Everything you do, folks, every decision that you make, everything that you decide to get involved in your life should be as unto the Lord and not unto who? Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto who? If you are teaching the kids, if you are cleaning up in the kitchen, if you are Whatever it is, no matter how mundane whatever it is might seem to be to you, we need to not be weary in that well-doing, and we need to remember the fact that what we do, we ought to, everything we do it heartily as unto who? The Lord. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive what? The reward of the inheritance. Notice, for ye serve who? The Lord Christ. We need to keep these things in mind. We're going to continue to need fellow laborers. We're going to continue to need partners in ministry if we're going to follow through and carry forth the obligations that the assembly has. Okay? And that's not going to change. You know, as I look at the assembly, I just want to share this from my heart. I for those of us that have been in it from the beginning, from 3 years all the way through, I always tell you when I preach about marriage, right, that the longest those euphoric feelings can last is 2 years. And I feel that we need to be realistic here and understand that as the ministry goes forth, that feeling that we had that drove us in the beginning is going to wax and it's going to wane. But the work of the ministry still needs to be done. Okay? It still needs to be done. It needs to be done with a resolute purpose, understanding why we are doing what we are doing. Understanding why we are trying to be the body of Christ. And as you think about the church, we need to, and along with that idea, we need to strive together and press toward the mark together. And I do want to read this verse. Come to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 27. Paul writes to Philippians and he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Here it is. "That ye stand fast," how? "In one spirit, with one mind, striving together," for what? "The faith of the gospel." This is not something that is an individual thing. This is a group thing. This is something that we do together as the body of Christ. Okay? And I think we also need to renew our focus on ambassadorship. About being the ambassadors of Christ. Okay? This church will only continue to grow through the faithful efforts of the saints to share the life-changing message of grace with our family, friends, and co-workers. We make Bibles, free Bibles available. We have literature. We have books. We have all sorts of media. We have the internet. All sorts of medias through which that you can continue the work of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That is something that as we continue to move forward, if the church is going to continue to grow as far as numbers, as far as the number of people that have identified themselves with this local church, we're going to have to continue as individuals and as a corporate body to continue to think about our work as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And finally, I feel that the church needs to focus on building church family community. We need to focus on more events that get the saints together to fellowship around the Word of God, sometimes just for fellowship. But to build a community idea that we are the body of Christ. And as I summarize this, I want to share this with you. You know, a few years ago when we started, I used in a message, I was preaching about forgiveness, and I used the expression, "What you got to do is just grace it." And that kind of stuck, right? And I don't know if this one's going to stick, but I think it's important. As I look at the church, turn by the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As I think of the church, and I think about where we are in our history as a local church, I think that one of the biggest things that we need to focus on is this. We need to be the body. We need to be the body of Christ. We need to be who we've been called to be as the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. "For as the body is one, hath many members, All the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but what? But many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, is it not of the body? Is it therefore not, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the seeing? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased who? Him. And that all the members, and if all were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Here it is. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same what? Care. One for one. When I talk about being the body, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a community of believers, a local church, where we understand what it means to be the body. To have the same care one for another. Look at the next verse. For whether one member suffer, all members what? Suffer with it. When it's reported in our midst that one member has cancer, or this, or that, or the other thing, being the body means that we have the same care for that saint that we would have for who? Ourselves. Because all of the members of the body are important, and when one member suffers, all members suffer what? With it. But here it is. Or one member be honored, all members what? You follow what I'm saying? That is the mentality. Do you understand that if, and I'm not saying that we don't do this, okay, but there's always room for improvement, but if you understand what it would be like for somebody to walk into a church where they actually do that, they would know instantly that there was something different about that church. They would know instantly that there's a different character, a different quality, a different dynamic and dimension to what is going on in that church, because that church is truly doing what the Scripture says, and that church is being the body. Is this making sense to you? Come to Romans chapter 12, and I promise I'll be done in a couple minutes. That's your first mistake of listening to me. That's the classic answer. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, he says, rejoice with them that what? Do rejoice. And weep with them that what? Weep. Come with me to Galatians. I'm just going to put all these up here. Come with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of who? Of Christ. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10. Remember the verse we read in there in Philippians? Where it says that you be of one accord and one mind, striving how? Together for the faith of the gospel. Look at what he says to the Corinthians here. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same," what? "Thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye might be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same" what? "Judgment." That's what I mean about being the body. And I think we also finally don't turn there, but Titus chapter 2. We have to take we have to look at where we are at. Aged women, aged men, young women, young men. We need to look at where we are at in that passage, and we need to take seriously what the teaching and instruction is to us. And we need to move forward, not being so worried and wrapped up about what the next program is and what the next big thing we're going to do is, but we need to be moving forward with the mindset that wherever we move as a body. And that body, as it moves, it needs to be having the same care one for another. It needs to be having the same mentality as we do that, as we move forward. And I'm just going to say it right now. If you think that there is something that we should be doing that we are not doing, or that we are doing something that we should not be doing, every board meeting, unless otherwise stated, is an open meeting. Come in. Tell us what you think. But we need to be the body of Christ. We need to rejoice in the accomplishments that we've had. And we need to look around, and we need to not look at, well, what maybe we could have done better, but we need to rejoice and be thankful for what we've done right. And where we've come from, and have the focus of where we're going. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I have friends, preacher friends, who come into this church at a conference, and they look at you, they look at this building, they look at the facility, and they say, "You guys could do more for the message of grace than any other church that's out there right now." And I think we need to think with that perspective, that it's not just us. Our ministry extends way beyond these walls, but for those of us that are a part of the ministry here, we need to be the body that we've been called to be. I appreciate your time. And I think at this point now, it feels kind of awkward to end like that. So let's pray, and then we'll have Wayne come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray that as we've looked at the accomplishments and the appreciations and reviewed our core strategy and purpose and looked at the church and just gotten into our frame of reference and our thinking, everything that is going on and being done, that as we consider our move forward, that we would do it in the light of truth, that we would do it in the light of Your Word and that Word rightly divided. We ask these things. We pray now that as we move into the financial portion of the meeting, that we will be careful to listen, to understand what's going on, and that it would be done in a manner that is gracious. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to have Wayne come. And you need help passing stuff out?
Jeff in the back, making their way towards the front. Good morning, saints. Good morning. Good morning. I hope I was able to greet each and every one of you personally this morning when you came in, but if I was absent from my usual station, I apologize for that, so that's why I'm doing a blanket greeting here this morning to make certain that no one has been overlooked. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Brian for two things. One is for the prayer to set the tone for what we're going to discuss in the next, hopefully not much more than another 5 minutes or so. And the other thing that I'm thankful for Pastor Brian is that he lays down the building blocks of this ministry. And that's what you experienced on the overhead. You can tell there's been a lot of thought, a lot of prayer into his presentation. And if his bullet points are the building blocks of this ministry, then usually the finances are the mortar that holds the blocks together. And that's what we're going to get an opportunity to go through this morning. Saints, this is going to be a two-part presentation. I'm going to probably do everything up to today on your balance sheet. And then when I conclude, Brother Paul and Brother Todd are going to come forward and they're going to share some thoughts and some goals for you. First of all, can everyone hear me and does everyone have a packet? There, I can tell from Todd, he's probably got about 40 extra. Paul, did you end up with extra? Okay, so does anyone need a packet? Pastor Brian has mentioned right division numerous times this morning. If he didn't, I would have been surprised. That is probably his mantra, so to speak, is so there's no misunderstanding when someone comes into this assembly building what we stand for. The Pauline perspective, right division. We're going to have a little right division this morning. You have two sets of colored sheets in front of you this morning, saints. I'm going to, first of all, you should have a white set. And you should also have a yellow set. I know you're attracted to colors. I know you're like a honeybee that wants to go to the pretty flowers. Put the yellow one aside for a moment, if you will. I know it's a challenge for some of you. You've already went to the bottom line. I can tell that. You've already stolen my presentation, is what you have done. I need you to go ahead and look at the white sheet. This is our income and expense report. That's the first three pages, and then the last page that's stapled to it is the balance sheet. All the numbers that you have before you, first of all, are gathered from January 1st of 2010 all the way up until yesterday. These numbers are for not only your knowledge and your edification, but they're also for your review. Now, I'm not going to go through every line item. You would be disappointed in me if I did that. It's not necessary. However, I do want to point out a couple areas that I want you to be aware of. And then when you go home tonight, or excuse me, this afternoon, and you want to read this more thoroughly, we encourage you to do so. If you see anything that either you do not understand or looks out of line or you can see an improvement on, I would also ask you to bring that to my personal attention. I will have an answer for you. If it's not at that point, I will get it to you by the following week. As you go to page one, probably be almost half of the way down is our total income. You'll see that we ran almost $100,000 through this ministry this past 10 months. What everything that came through here is all up above that total income line. So we account for every penny, every dollar, so to speak. And if we have a line item to debit it and credit it against, we do so. After the income, of course, come our expenses. And if you go ahead and you can follow all the expenses all the way down, and it goes all the way to the third page, and our total expenses for this ministry is shown on the third page, and that, of course, is a compilation of everything for it. Now I'm going to go ahead and ask you to turn to the last page, which is our balance sheet. This is where we stand financially. You will see all of our assets that are listed there. After the assets, we have liabilities and equity. Liabilities, of course, is what we owe, whether they be individuals or institutions. And then the two, meaning our equity, which is called profit, added up together, and they are to match our assets, and they do that. So that is your financial statement all the way up until, as I said, yesterday. Now, what I want to do, first of all, are there any questions, not that you should have at this point, unless you got a peek at this already this morning, which I don't think that you did, but is there anything that I've brought up so far that you might have a question on before we go to the next portion of the presentation? Yes, Ronnie. Well, what's in there, and I'm glad that's a very, first of all, it's a very good and important question, and not to steal anyone's thunder or to take their thunder away, so to speak, but that's going to be presented by Brother Todd and Brother Paul shortly, okay? That portion of the income is broken out specifically for the knowledge of the board as well as for you saints. So it's a good question, but I'm going to hold off on answering it until Paul and Todd come forward. If they don't answer it, you raise your hand again and you put them to the test. Fair enough? Okay. Thank you, Ronnie. Okay, we now have the yellow sheet. The yellow sheet is our budget for this coming year. And the numbers that are derived off this budget, or for this budget, comes off the financial statement that you just went ahead and reviewed with me. First of all, the expenses that are listed there do not match all the expenses on your income statement. In other words, there are some line items that we don't feel need to be supported so much through the offerings of this ministry, but rather for your own efforts and work on your own. For example, Pastor Brian has touched on the Bible conference. You will not find the Bible conference listed on the yellow sheet. No, nor will you find his printing ministry that he talked about running all of his booklets and everything through Bible Doctrines. You will not find that expense on the budget sheet. And the reason being, these are ministries that stand alone on their own merit. If we're not able to support the Bible conference on our own through outside activities and special contributions and donations, then we more than likely will not have a Bible conference. And the same thing for Pastor's printing ministry. He understands, and he's the one that brought it to our attention, that as he sells these booklets, the money that's made from the booklets, again, then allows him to go out and have another printing go-around. So those ministries you're not going to see on the yellow sheet. Now, what we're going to do is, I go through this, I want you to, first of all, to know that there are an increase in certain categories from last year. And the reasons are, there's about four of them that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, we have been here now longer, and so our data is more historical than projectionary. In other words, we now have real live data that we can look at, and when we put the budget together, we know from past experience what it's probably going to cost rather than what we guess it's going to cost. Also, the assembly is growing. And as Pastor Brian has shown you on the overhead, all the activities that take place in this ministry, they have cost associated with them. Not only in number, as we increase in population, so to speak, will our expenses go ahead and follow that trend, but also just the facility in itself will also require more financial attention. We also have new line items. Things that have come up this year were not on there last year. So that's another reason that you're going to see an increase in some of the budget numbers that you're being presented with. And finally, I plugged in just general inflation percentage. There are certain areas that I know from past experience that are going to increase, and we do not have an opportunity to shop them for a competitive offset, and basically that's your utilities. We know that because of consumers and DTE Energy and the like, that there's no place else we can go. So whatever they charge us is obviously what we have to pay. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go through each and every, not all of these for you, but if you have the sheet, and as we begin at the top and work our way down, the first one that I want to go ahead and talk to you about is the building and grounds maintenance. That one has went up approximately around $15 a week. And the reason for that is because we have found some areas on the building itself that we need to pay attention to. One of the things, and it's a major expense, but it will not reoccur, is we've already had it done, is we put heat tape on the roof. And the reason we did that, if you remember last year during our winter, all the ice built up, and it built up to the extent that it tore down all the eaves troughs that we installed, as well as it built up and come back under the soffits. And when that happens, of course, it attacks the wood underneath and it leaks into the building itself. So we knew that we had to put a stop to that. And that's why that number has increased from last year. But I believe in my heart that's only a one-time thing. It's nothing that we're going to have to see again. Also, I want to go down and let you know that the custodial services and supplies, there's been no increase in that category. Our insurance expense at $44 a week has actually went down from $61 a week, and I've already been informed that it's going to go down overall $200 more for the year. The agent has already called me and let me know that he has found another provider that can do a better job of our insurance, and so you're already going to see a $200 savings that's not presented there for you right now. The interest on the second mortgage, that's the one, folks, that has not been here last year. We have two mortgages on this building. Again, the other brothers will explain that to you. The second mortgage has an interest obligation, as well as the first one does, but this is the one that we're responsible for primarily, and that runs about $300 on the average a month. That's about 2.5% interest for all you mathematicians out there that are trying to calculate it. And it's just enough to keep the IRS happy on how we handle it, that they like it to be an arm's length transaction. So that one there is the one that you don't see from last year. It's one that we need to address for this year. Our miscellaneous expenses, they include items such as our Sunday school, our music program, our tracks that we have on the entrance wall. It's the items of that nature is included in your miscellaneous expense, and that only went up, I think, like about $2 a week from last year. Our office expenses actually went down. Again, the biggest item in that group is the maintenance agreement for our copier. Everything else, we're able to go ahead and to purchase the supplies and everything as coupons and savings activities are presented to us. Pastor's expense has remained steady with the exception of his parsonage allowance. The board has agreed that we're going to increase his allowance by $25 a week. He has not had an increase, and for him to stay in favor financially for his family and for his obligations that he has, we've increased that to $375 a week. Our utilities expense is the biggest one that has gone up, and again, that is because of the inflation factor that we put in there and the actual cost that went from last year until this year. So that number is something that you need to be aware of. Vacation Bible School, we didn't have one last year. We have one, the year before. We had one this year. And with that cost and everything, we want to go ahead and plug in a number in the event that we run it again for next year. We have something to cover that expense. Also, our youth group expenses, they were not covered last year in the budget. And this year here, we feel going forward what Brother Todd does with the young people, which is a tremendous ministry for them, is take them to the actual retreats and to the camps and everything that are offered to them, and that would be a budget number of about $12 a week. So we have our total budget on a weekly basis of $846 for this coming year. Now, are there any questions on that part before I go to the remainder of the presentation? Nothing at all. As I had mentioned, the next portion is going to deal with the mortgage on the building. And that is the part that Brother Todd and Brother Paul are going to come forward at this time, and they're going to be able to share with you folks the status of the mortgage and what the goals of the board is with respect to you and our budget. So, Brother Paul, Todd, you coming up, or are you going to sit? He's sitting. Okay. Welcome, Paul. Let me get the paperwork out of your way.
So I'm just going to talk about a couple of general things, and then Brother Todd's going to talk a little more specifics. Sitting there listening to Pastor Brian talk about where we've been as a church and where we're going, that was pretty inspiring. It's good to be reminded of that, the things that I know about, of course, but good to be reminded of the significance of our church. And one of the things, as I was thinking about this meeting, I thought about what is unique about our church. Why do we come here? Why don't we just go to one of the churches down the street? There's some nice ones. Pastor Brian talked about that, but I want to emphasize a couple of things. So just thinking about it, I mean, do we come here because of the building? We have a nice building here, of course, and we get free donuts and coffee. That's nice. Is that the reason we come here? Well, no, I hope it isn't. There are other churches that have actually a lot nicer buildings, so if that's the reason, you should go someplace else. Is it because we have nice programs and a nice music program? Brother Kurt, Sister Becky, and others, and the Joyful Noise Band, they do a good job of the music. We have other programs, too, the Sunday School and some of the other things that Pastor Brian went over. Well, I hope that's not the reason you come here, either. Is it because of our pastor? Now, that's an important one. We have a good pastor. He's articulate. Gets his point across. He gets excited when he preaches. That's good. But we're here to honor God, not man. So I hope that's not the reason you come here either, just to hear the person who preaches. So what is it that's unique about us? Well, I think it's very simple, and Pastor Brian said it. It's because we believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God, and that Word rightly divided. We come here to hear that preached, and we come here to edify each other in that Word. Now, that's something to get excited about, because there's hardly any other church in the area that does that kind of thing. So that's why we come here. Now, to make this ministry possible requires a lot of effort, and Pastor Brian reviewed that as well, just the efforts of the saints. But one of the important aspects of making this ministry possible is the financial support. Without financial support, this church, this ministry wouldn't be here, and we'd be going to the church on the street. So I hope that as you think about what you give every week, that you think about the value of this ministry, what's unique about it, and how valuable it is to you as you make those kind of decisions. Now, Brother Todd's going to come and talk. Brother Wayne went over the financial report, talked about some of the details there. Brother Todd's going to break that down just a little bit in terms of what that means for you and me, and touch on the issue of the mortgage as well. Brother Todd?